Okay, so the title of today's sermon is Authority and Power. Can we say that together? Amen. Now open your Bible to Mark. Let's start with Mark. We're going to do Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's start with Mark. And then we'll go to Matthew, and then we'll go to Luke. Mark chapter 16, that's the very last chapter in the book of Mark. Mark 16. And we're reading verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. Yes, would you like to read? Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. Tell us the version.
New King James Version.
Okay.
And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover."
Amen. Keep going. So then,
after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can put that off. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you want to see signs and wonders from the Lord? You want to see signs and wonders? You want to see the power of God? Let's say, you want to see.
Me.
Put that off, sir. You want to see the power of God working? Yeah? In your life. Yeah, put your hand up if you want to see the power of God working in your life. You want to see the power of God working in your home, in your family, in the church? Yeah? You want to see that? Yeah? You want to see all the things you read in the Bible at work in your own day and time. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Yeah? The lepers are cleansed. Some say, who is a leper? That includes all types of skin diseases. Yeah? The dead are raised back to life and the gospel. You want to see that? Amen? Do you want to see that? Amen. I want to say it. I want to see it every day. I want to see the power of God at work every day in my life, in my home, in my church, in your lives. Hallelujah. My family. Power is the greatest need you have to live in this world, Yeah? Yeah? In this world. To live in this world. Power is the greatest need you have. Of course, someone says, what's the greatest need I have as a human being? I tell you, the greatest thing you have as a human being is eternal life. Amen? The life of God. Zoe. That's the greatest need you have. The life of God. Yeah? A relationship. A personal relationship with God. Yeah? A relationship that there is nothing between you and God. You are reconciled back to God. You can call God your father. Yeah? And you understand that you are his child. You are not just his servant. You are not just trying to keep his laws. Your heart is with him. There is nothing between. So eternal life is your greatest need. And eternal life does not start when you die. Eternal life starts now. Eternal life is the life that rescues you from the kingdom of darkness, from the dominion of Satan, yeah, and brings you into the house of God that you can say, I'm a child of God. And that's what you receive. When you receive Jesus and you're born again, what you receive is the life of God. That is your greatest need. That was just said, except a man be born again. Is it except or unless? Except. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's your greatest need. Now, when you receive eternal life, you still need to continue to live in this world. And this world is full of challenges, yeah? It's full of challenges. There are good times, but good times don't last forever, yeah? There are challenges here and there. When you give a testimony, you thought that was the end of it all, yeah? As you continue to walk the journey, something else shows up in a different part. Amen? And you need what? Power. Say, I need power. Power is the ability to produce change. Power is what? Why do you need power? Because when you face an adverse circumstance, when something is happening in your life that you know that this is not what I want, or this is not who I want to be. Hallelujah. There are things in your life that you know, I don't want to be like this. There are people that say, oh, I want to love God more. I want to serve God more. But day after day, they are not loving God more. They are not serving God more. It's just a wish. Because why? There's no what? They don't find the power. There are people who are sick, but they don't want to remain sick. There are people who are diseased. I don't know if you have any form of, you know, sickness, illness or disease, you know, in your body or experience. But you know that even if you are managing, you don't want it. Does anybody want to be sick and diseased? Amen. Now, to drive out sickness and disease completely from your body, yeah, and send all the doctors on leave, yeah, annual leave. What do you need? You need power. Hallelujah. You need power. There are even some diseases that the doctors cannot cure. They're just managing you. Say, what are you? How are you? Say, I'm just managing. Amen. But to be free, you need what? Power. Power produces change. So if we say power produces change. Now, what I want to show you today is that God has not called you to a Christian life where you are just practicing religion and trying to be a nice person. Yeah? That is not all about Christianity. Christianity involves power. If there is no power in Christianity, then it's just a religion. Are you with me? Christianity is not just about what we do, you know, to make God happy. It's also about what God does to transform our lives, to make us become more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus was not kicked about by the devil. He kicked the devil about. Jesus was not kicked about by sickness and disease. Was he? No. Hallelujah. So you see that what God wants in your life, yeah, is transformation. He gives you his life and he wants you to live a powerful life in the world. However, when Jesus was leaving, what did he tell you? Mark 16:15 said, go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel. But when last did you preach the gospel? Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them and ask them, say, when last did you preach the gospel? Amen. When last did you go to someone and tell them, look what? Jesus loves you and you need Jesus in your life. Because it's the only way. Is the only truth and is the only life. Amen. Some of you, instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus, the only gospel you know how to preach is the gospel of money. You talk about money. You talk about how to increase your salary. Yeah? How to make your life better. Yeah? How to work harder. Yeah? How to save for your holiday. How to go on your holiday. How you did not go for holiday 2 years ago. And why you really need to go for one this year. And that's the gospel you preach. Some of you, the gospel you preach is about fashion and clothes. You talk about fashion. The latest fashion, the most fashionable sunglasses. The most fashionable shoes. Yeah. You know, I remember somebody asked me a question. They said, why do women wear high heel? That's, it's a little child. He has not yet understood. Yeah? Some of the gospel you preach is just about food. The nicest, you know, have you tried this restaurant? That's all you ever asked your friend, your unbelieving friend. That was the only gospel you ever gave him. Have you tried that restaurant in town? Amen? Now, I'm not saying you cannot discuss these things, but I'm saying that you need to understand your mission as a believer. Yeah? You have to go into the world and do what? Preach the gospel. And it's not talking about taking a mic to preach. It's talking about that in your space of influence, in your circle of influence, yeah, you want to proclaim the word of God. Now, if you are not proclaiming the word of God, it means that the word of God is not any value to you. You don't appreciate the value of the word. It's not worth selling. It's not worth pushing. You don't appreciate the value. Yeah? Sometimes some of you are with your family members. All you ever did for your family members was have a social party. Yeah? You never preach, you never tell them the word of God. Never. You just don't. Yeah? You have a nice meal. You sit around the table, laugh, play games, play cards. You know? Put on special pajamas together for Christmas. But you never proclaim the word of God to them. That means you're not living as a believer. I don't know what you believe in, because really what you really believe in comes out of your mouth. Yeah? Someone say, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. I know. But how can you be with someone for 3 days? You're having conversation, and the word of God never comes out. Now, this is not the goal. The goal of this message is not to talk about the gospel, but I thought I should start from there. Yeah? Now, someone say, oh, but why are we not seeing the power of God in our lives? It's because we are off center. We are off circle. We've missed the main point. We want the power of God just for our own selfish reasons. Yeah? We are not doing what he wants us to do, and that's why we're not seeing his power as much as we should see. If I'm not going to proclaim the word of God, I'm limiting the power of God to manifest in my life. Hallelujah. Every time you proclaim the word of God, you are opening up the can, not the can of worms now, but the can of power. Every time you proclaim the word of God, every time you say, this is what God said. Yeah? This is what the Bible said. This is what I believe. And you are communicating to another soul, another human being. You are opening up a door for the power of God to walk. That's why I said, go to the word and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Preach what? The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is what Jesus has done. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. The gospel is what Jesus has done. What did Jesus do? He came to save you from your sins. That's the first thing he came to do, because that's the meaning of his name. He shall be called what? Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. But thank God, that's not all he came to do. He came to save you from your sins, but that's not all Jesus did. Matthew chapter 11. When John the Baptist sent people to Jesus and said, are you the one? Or do we look for another? I'm reading Matthew 11. I'm reading from verse 2. Let's open there. Matthew 11. We are looking at the gospel. And we're looking at authority and what? Power. Say with me, authority and power. Matthew 11, from verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. Verse 2 to 6. Can I just have the mic? Let's ask someone else read. Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6, somebody? Anybody there warming up? Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6. Please follow. Tell us the version.
New Living Translation.
Yes.
John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me.
Amen. Let's have a New King James. Anybody has New King James? Thank you, sir. New King James. Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6. Just someone else. Someone else who has not. Yes. Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6.
Matthew 11, verse 2, New King James. And when John had heard in the prison about the work of Christ.
He heard about the works of Christ. Go on, please.
He sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the leopard and are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The deaf are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.
Amen. So you see that. So you see, the works of Christ, yeah, the gospel, the package includes what? The blind seeing. Amen? He said, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? So should we look at others? Say, go and tell him. Go and give him the evidence. What's the evidence I'm the Messiah? The blind see. The lame walk. Yeah? The deaf hear. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised back to life. And the gospel, which is the good news of salvation, is preached to the poor. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. And that's what God wants to reproduce in your life, actually. Amen? God's goal in your life, when you come to Christ, is to make you become like Jesus. Amen? And I always say to you, I say, you know what? If you're not interested, yeah, if what you see in Jesus is not what you want your life to be, you are not yet a true believer. I say that again. If Jesus is not your model of perfection, if what you see in Jesus is not your model of a perfect life, you are not a true believer. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the model that we want to follow. Everything we see in him, we want to be. Hallelujah. Everything we see in Jesus, we want to what? We want to be. Jesus cast out devils. He cast out demons. Yeah? And Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons. Let me explain that to you. You see, sometimes you think that, you know, demons only affect only people that are very insane. Yeah? That have demons. No. Demons are very much around trying to manipulate and dominate you. Yeah? They are trying to mess up your life. Mess up your purity. Yeah? Mess up your finances. Mess up your family relationships. Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, the thief, he comes not, but to what? To steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I want you to understand that Satan does not operate alone. Satan has a big army. Satan is not everywhere every time, but he has a big army of devils and demons. Yeah? They are all varying in rank. Yeah? The biggest number are the lowest ranking ones. And I tell you something, they are everywhere. Yeah? They will jump on the shoulder of anybody that allows them to jump on their shoulder. And they will try to influence them in the wrong way. Yeah? Any work of the flesh you read in the Bible, yeah? If you open the door wide enough, a demon will come and help you do it well. Yeah? They are assistants in the works of the flesh. But that's not all. They come to oppress. They come to depress. They come to discourage. Yeah? Every time you are seeing a pattern in your life, yeah, that is not right, yeah, you can suspect. If it's a pattern, I didn't say if it's like a random occurrence, like, you know, or a sporadic occurrence, but there is a pattern. It's right to suspect that a demon is trying to manipulate. You're not possessed, please understand me, but there's something trying to wind that button, yeah, because that's their job. So when Bible says you will cast out demons, it starts from your own life. Amen? Sometimes the devil will come and afflict you with the spirit of fear. Well, it can come out as anxiety. Yeah? It's not every time you just say, you know what, okay, I need therapy. Therapy cannot chase a demon away. Hallelujah? You have to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, spirit of fear. Otherwise, you will just struggle under it. That's why I said that those who believe in me, they will cast out demons. Sometimes, anger can come upon you like a force. It's not every time anger comes upon you that you are the one that is angry. Sometimes, there's a demon turning the button. I'm telling you. Sometimes it's ordinary. But if there's a pattern, if something looks extraordinary, assume that it's what? If something looks extraordinary, assume that is what? Extraordinary. Let me explain what is extra. When something is extraordinary, it means that there's something extra to the ordinary. Now, if it's ordinary, don't worry. Don't go suspecting demons for everything. Okay? But if it's extra, yeah? It's time to rebuke. It's time to cast. If you keep quiet, they will continue to manipulate you. And you know what? You will feel helpless. See, once you start feeling helpless, you are under influence. Amen? When you start feeling what? Helpless. You are under what? Influence. And you need to stand in the name of Jesus and rebuke that influence. Let me give an example in the Bible. It will surprise you. Open your Bible to Matthew 16. We're talking about authority and power. I've not really entered my main message because I want to explain to you authority and power. But let me just list the background, another 5 minutes, and then I'll go into the main message of explaining authority and power. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Are you there? Verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Yes, Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Someone else who is ready? If no one, yes, pass to your sister. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Please follow this story.
From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of the elders, the leading priests and teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to...
Verse 22.
But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then Jesus said to his disciples.
Okay, that's okay. Thank you. 21 to 23. Thank you very much. So that word was, you began to reprimand. Yes. Okay, let's have New King James. Peter began to reprimand.
From that time.
I will describe that to you. Please read again, New King James. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Listen.
From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples and that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.
Amen. Let me explain this story to you. So this was Jesus talking to his disciples and telling them the plan of God for his life. That he has to go to the cross. That he will be going to the cross. Yeah? Okay? So all good. Now Peter, one of his disciples, remember Jesus is the master, he's the rabbi, he's the rabboni. Peter took him. So I imagine, because sometimes it's like, that was, I guess, grammar, he grabbed him. It's every chance that Peter was more physical than Jesus. Okay? Grabbed him. And began to what? Rebuke him. No, you are not going. I said, you are not going. Stop it. Amen. It was not ordinary. Amen. It was what? Extraordinary. He had something had taken over Peter. Amen. And that's when Jesus what? Rebuked him and said, what? Get behind me, Satan. He's not calling Peter Satan, he's rebuking the spirit behind the action. Are you with me? Now, you remember, you cannot bind people. People have free will. You can't go binding people. Yeah? So I bind you. Do exactly what I want. That's witchcraft. Amen? But spirits come to manipulate. And evil spirits always come to promote evil. Evil spirits always come to oppose the will of God. So it's rebuking the spirit behind the action. And I guess by the time Jesus said, Peter will have just looked, what will he look like after the spirit has been rebuked? He will look just dazed. What just happened there? Because for a moment he had yielded. He was so the problem is that look, if you have become too emotional, you can yield to a wrong spirit. Amen? What did I say? If you allow your emotions to overtake you and you lose control, you can yield to a wrong spirit. It can be fear, it can be anger, it can be depression, it can be loss. You can yield because you lost control. You let your emotion overtake you. You must not let anything overtake you. Even your emotions. Emotions are not evil, but they must be always under control. Are you with me? Don't freak out. Are you with me? Because you can open a door for something else to overtake you. And that's what happened to Peter. Peter, if you read the story, you can see that Peter is quite an emotional person. Amen? But he let it overtake him. He didn't know when he was rebuking Jesus. He was rebuking. That word said reprimand. That's a very strong word. Amen? And Satan took over. So Jesus rebuked and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm telling you now that in your life, if you're going to have victory, you will need to learn to speak to Satan and demon and say, get behind me. Take your hands. In the modern world, take your hands off my life. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will just continue to feel helpless under that oppression. You will just feel helpless. And it's not because God is not fighting for you. It's because you are refusing to use your authority. Now let's go back to Mark 16. Go back to the main topic now, Mark 16. So I just set that background to you to understand the importance of power and authority in our lives. If you are going to live victoriously, you need authority and power. Or another way to say you need to use it. So Mark 16, I'm reading again verse 17. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. I hope you understand that now. Yeah, that stands from your own life. Yeah? And when you've helped yourself, you can help somebody else. Amen? They will speak with new tongues. They will take off serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I want you to understand that all this belong to you if you are a true believer. They all belong to you, and you need them. They are all for power. Yeah? The ability to cast out demons belongs to you. Only if you will take it anyway. If you say you don't want it, no problem. The cost is that you lose the benefit. Speaking in tongues belongs to you. It's not to some people. It belongs to you. The only reason why God gave you that gift is for power. It's to empower you. Hallelujah. You see, if you are not speaking in tongues, you should desire it. Amen? Desire. Bible says, ask and you shall be given. But that's not the end. That's not the end. Amen? It's not the end. Say, oh, I've asked. That's not the end of asking. Asking starts with saying it. But that's not the end. The next step of asking is seek. Seek. Someone say seek. It's not enough to ask. You have to also what? Seek. They are all desire in expression. And it's not enough to seek. Sometimes you have to do what? No. You see, the intensity is going higher. From asking to seeking to what? To knocking. That's the principle. If you know it belongs to you, you don't settle without it, because you lose a benefit, and the benefit you lose is power. Amen? Some say, I need power. Because why? You're not needing power for show. You are needing power to deal with the kingdom of darkness. You are needing power to deal with mountains and obstacles and stumbling blocks. You are needing power to deal with sickness and disease. Amen? What if, God forbid, sickness shows up? And disease shows up that the doctors cannot help you with. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Are you going to write your will on your last statement and plan to die gracefully? Go for an holiday to compensate yourself because you know you're dying. No! What do you need? You need power. Say, I need power. It's power. It's power that we intervene, yeah, and buy your life back. You come back from the brink. Amen? Because power came in. So, the ability to cast out demons belongs to you. So, say, I can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Remember, it's not in your own power, it's in his power. It's when you believe in him, you believe in his name. So you say, I can speak in tongues in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying you may not be doing that yet, but it belongs to you. You don't say like, you lose power. You can't afford to lose power because you will need power. You will need power. You will need it either for yourself or somebody you need to help. Hallelujah. He says, if they take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Someone say, well, I'll do my best. I'm not going to drink any deadly thing. But sometimes you don't know. You go to a party. Yeah? They served you, the food is no longer fresh. What's the word? They serve you stale. It's tasting nice. By the way, this one is not tasting stale. There's some nice food that when you finish, you go to. Have you ever heard of that? You had very nice food in a party and then you got home and the drama started. Amen. You know, some people have eaten food unsuspectingly and they died. Some people have even ordered takeaway and the takeaway stirred up an allergy in them and they died in the UK. Amen. But the Bible says that if you drink anything, or you eat anything, it will not hurt you. That's power. Amen? That's power. Amen? Because you do your best to take precaution, but you understand that you have backup. Amen? Say, I have backup. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then it says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not just for the pastor. It includes you. Because there are going to be some people in your life that the pastor cannot reach. Amen? It belongs to you. You say, if you believe, it belongs to you. You're going to make a difference in some life. Some life will be saved. Some life will be healed. Some life will be delivered because you are walking in power. Amen? But remember what I told you today? I say it starts from your commitment, first of all, to the word of God. It's not just for show. Yeah? You cannot just pick and choose. Yeah? If you want to walk in the power of God, you must commit yourself to the word of God. Can you please turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to walk in the power of God, you must commit yourself to the word of God. Hallelujah. And you see, one of the proofs that you are committed to the word of God is that you will preach it. Amen. It will come out of your mouth. You will proclaim it. The word works, yeah, through the preaching of the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. You will proclaim it. You proclaim it to your spouse. You proclaim it to your children. You proclaim it to your parents. Your parents. Hello? I just said, if you are not yet, you say, you told me that you are spiritual. And the word of God has not come out of your mouth to your parents. You are not yet spiritual. You will proclaim it to your friends. Amen? You will proclaim that word of God that you believe to everyone around you. It must come out of you. Amen? Say, oh, let's not talk about spirituals now. Let's just talk about socials. Then you talk about all the worldly things that will corrupt your soul. I say, I had a nice time. Yeah? But you had a nice time of spiritual corruption. Yes, interact with people, socialize. But in your social circles, as part of your normal day-to-day activity, let the word of God come out. Because that's your identity. And that's the beginning of power in your life. Amen? You need to know your identity. Say, my identity is defined by the word. There's no other way. That's why you see when we come to church, we must preach what? The word. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a bit more authority. What is authority? What is the difference between authority and power? Somebody have two, few answers. What's the difference between authority and power? What is authority? Yes, anybody can help? Yes. Just short answer, not a long one.
Authority is the exercise of legitimate power. It's the exercise of power based on the fact that it's legitimate, it is right, mm-hmm. and it's justiciable
yes.
to do. Whether it's exercised anyway, on the right or on the left, if it's right, if the person that has it is justifiably exercising it based on due process, that is authority. But power is the exercise of force based on the fact that you can.
I just can't. So it doesn't matter whether you have the authority.
Power is the size of force. You have force. You have, you know, ability. Power, actually, someone say, what's power? Is power is ability. Amen? When you have ability in any way, you have what? Power. But what's authority? What's authority as differentiated from power? Yes, another definition anybody can clarify. That's a good one, but it's not yet perfect. I want it perfect. Anybody help me to make it perfect? What is authority as differentiated from power?
Authority is the exercise of power. So we have authority in Jesus' name, but it's Jesus who has the power.
Okay, it's the exercise. You know, can you define for me authority without using the word exercise? And there's a reason why. Because authority itself must be exercised. You know, you can have authority and not exercise it. Yes. In fact, many of us today were not exercising our authority in Christ. Yes.
Is it something that you obtain due to who you are?
Yes, yes, yes. That's good. You're getting closer. So you're defining authority, but you're not going to use the word exercise. That's the issue I have with you, because authority itself needs to be exercised. Okay? Yes. Two more. What's authority as differentiated from power?
So power is the enabler, and authority is what makes you stand out when you use the power.
Yes, you're closer to where I'm going. Look, actually, the perfect definition will include power, but it will differentiate it from power. So what's authority? Don't be shy. Go for it. Go for it. I won't mind. You look colorful already, so no problem.
I was just thinking, when I think of authority, I think of people of status. You know, that they're high in status and able to, I was going to say exercise.
Yes.
We're able to make decisions and decide what happens.
So decision, you're able to make decisions. Yes, yeah. It's part of authority, but it doesn't define it, but it describes it. Yes, authority is...
It's permission to exercise.
Permission! That's the closest I've heard. Is the permission, to use power. Or the permission to exercise power. Any other person? Don't be shy.
Authority is the right to give others.
The right! Yes, I like the word. It's the right, is the permission. Yeah? I don't want to use exercise for a reason. I will explain it to you later. Authority is the permission or the right. Authority is not the power. Yeah? But it's the permission to use the power. Authority is the right to use the power. Authority is delegated power. Yeah? Yeah? Power is the ability itself. You may not have the ability, but you have the right to use the ability. You may not have the ability, but you have the permission to use the ability. That's authority. So sometimes you may look at yourself and say, you're not more powerful than a demon. Because you are a physical being, and they are spiritual beings. Yeah? But is Jesus more powerful than the demon? Oh, yeah. Is God more powerful than the devil? Million times over. Amen? So now, authority is that he gave you the right or the permission to use his power. Are you with me? And one thing about authority is that authority also always has its own conditions anyway. Amen? If God gives you a limitless right, and if God gives you an unconditional right to use his power, then you have become God. Please understand me what I'm trying to say. If God says, you know what? All my power is at your disposal. You can use it as you like. Then you have become God, isn't it? You wanted to kill everybody in... I don't want to say basic talk. You can do it and nobody will ask you a question. No, God doesn't give that. When God gives you authority, it comes with its own conditions. If you meet the conditions, if you meet the conditions, the authority will work. If you don't meet the condition, it won't work. Because the authority that God gives you cannot contradict who God is. Because God cannot deny himself. God cannot give you an authority to go and do what does not represent him. Amen? So when we say we are acting in the name of Jesus, you have to understand that whatever you are doing in the name of Jesus must be something that represents him. Otherwise, he will not back you up. Amen? Jesus will not back you up to do anything that does not represent him. So to act in his name or to have authority in his name means that I have permission to use his power to do what he would have done. Amen? Let me say a bit more about authority. See, the value of your authority depends on the power that backs it up. If you have authority, say I have authority now, and there's no power that backs it up. Yeah? It has no value. Yeah? If I say, you know, if I say to, who can I talk to? Say to my son, you know, you go over there and do that. Yeah? And he doesn't do it. And there is no consequence. Next time I say it, will he listen to me? No. No. It doesn't matter if I'm Sammy's his father. Yeah? I've been telling him to do things for a whole month. He didn't do any. And there's no consequence. Yeah? Will he respect my authority? No. The value of authority depends on the power that backs it up. Remember that? Yeah? Now, let me say something about authority again. The usefulness of your authority, the usefulness of the authority you have. For example, Jesus said, I give you authority. Yeah? Luke chapter 10 is there. To trample on snakes and scorpions. He's talking about the power of the enemy. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. You cast out demons, you speak in new tongues. That's authority. Whatever you shall bind on earth, Matthew 18, will be bound in heaven. That's authority. Whatever you shall lose on earth, will be loosed in heaven. That's authority. But if you, the usefulness of your authority to you, depends on your awareness and appreciation of his purpose and power. If I give you authority and you're not aware of his purpose, you will misuse it, isn't it? Hello? You will misuse it because you don't know his purpose. I told you, authority always is connected to a purpose. There are conditions. Now, it also depends on your appreciation. You know his purpose, but it doesn't mean much to you. Yeah? You are a pastor, but you don't understand the purpose for which you are a pastor. You don't understand the value of your position. Maybe I appointed you now to be a pastor. Yeah? But you don't appreciate the value. Yeah? So you don't see yourself as a pastor. You go and chat with everybody as though you are just at their level. You not see yourself as having some authority to mentor them, to help them, to speak into their lives, to make changes. You don't appreciate the value of that authority. So it will not deliver results for you. So you have to be aware and you have to appreciate the purpose of your authority for it to be useful to you. If you're a parent, yeah, you don't appreciate your purpose as a parent. You don't understand your purpose as a parent. You let your children define to you how the home should run. Yeah? He said, well, they are innocent. Let them just tell us what to do. Children, what should we do today? What do we have for lunch? What do we have for dinner? What should we watch? You're not using your authority. Soon enough, they will be telling you what to do. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to be aware. You have to appreciate the purpose and the power for it to be used. Now, if you have authority, if you don't exercise it, you don't get the job done. Authority has to be exercised. If you keep, you have it, but you don't exercise it, you don't get the result. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's authority, you know. That's authority. Of course, what you bind must be consistent with who he is. You can't go around binding churches from meeting on Sunday. He's not going to back you up on that, will he? No. Hallelujah. No. But you can bind the devil and demons who are trying to stop churches from meeting on Sunday. Yeah, it's in that business. Amen. But if you don't bind them, it doesn't matter how much you think God is fighting for you. If he said you should bind and you did not bind, what will happen? God still remains on the throne. Have you ever thought about it? That with everything that Satan is doing, God is still on the throne. Have you ever thought about it? Why didn't he just stop, fight them, and throw them all into hell? That time is coming. It's not yet time. Amen? Even when Jesus was on the heart, the demons said, are you coming to send us before the time? Did he send them there before the time? No. I told someone, I said, you can't send any demon to hell. You are way ahead of yourself. Jesus did not do it. There's a time for that. When you can do this, you can send them away from your domain. Then they go and look for somebody else who will accommodate them. Yeah? And give them a party. And then once they say that the place is okay, they will call in their friends. We're going to have a party. Do you understand? But you can chase them away from your own domain. If you go to their domain, they will accommodate you. Are you with me? You can't cast them to hell. Not yet. It's not yet time. Hallelujah. So the authority you have in Christ, because you are a believer in Christ, you have to use it. Say, I have to use my authority if I want to get the job done. Amen. Let me also say, let me say this. I'm teaching about authority today. The way authority works is that when you undermine authority at any point in your life, whether it's parental authority or pastoral authority, or even authority, for example, even the workplace or government, you are putting yourself at risk, yeah, of facing the power that backs up that authority. Please understand me. You know, like, in Africa, for example, yeah, well, in Nigeria, from where I grew up, you know, if you make the mistake of maybe you meet a military person, a soldier, and you harass them and make their life difficult, just pack all your things. Don't try to sleep at home. Because a battalion is coming at you at night. And they will sack, they will clear everything. Amen. You may think that single soldier is weak, but you undermine them, the power that is backing them up will come at you. Are you with me? That's the way authority works. So you may undermine authority and say, what can the person do? Is it not just my daddy, or is it not just my pastor? I'm telling you, the power, unless they were acting out of line with their purpose. You see, if they're acting out of line in their purpose, then they don't have the backing. But if they're acting in line with their purpose, and you undermine them, the power behind them will come at you. You say, but so I'm a child of God. Can God's power come at me? Oh, yes. Amen. If you disobey God, the power of God that should be working for you can work against you. Yeah? Please open your Bible. Let me show you that. Matthew. Open your Bible to Matthew. We're going to have a part two of this message because I know I cannot cover it today, but I need to teach you some of these things. And the reason I'm teaching that is because we need to enter the victory. That's why I'm teaching about authority and power. So the next Sunday, there will be a part two. Matthew, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 21. And read for me verse 42 to 45. Matthew 21, verse 42 to 45. Yes? Two versions. Matthew 21, 42 to 45. Yes. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Matthew 21, 42, 45. Go on, please.
Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone,
whoever falls on this stone,
will be broken.
Will be broken.
But whomever it falls,
whomever it falls on,
it will grind him to powder.
It will grind him to powder. Now, read me the next verse.
Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them.
They perceived. This is one of the few times that the chief priests and Pharisees perceive. Usually they don't perceive. When Jesus is talking, they don't perceive what he's saying. You always misunderstand him when he's telling them spiritual things. But when he's getting at them, they perceive. You know, they don't funny people, yeah? He's teaching about the kingdom, but no, they always misunderstand it. But when he's talking about them, they perceive. You know, it's a very negative thing. They only perceive in negative things. So what, let me explain the story. You see, the Pharisees, the chief priests, they always resist Jesus. They always undermine his authority. They always try to make him look like He's nothing. He cast out, yeah, a demon. And the deaf and dumb, they spoke and they heard. Are you with me? Are you not supposed to praise God for that? They said, no, he casted it out by the prince of devils. You see, they are undermining his what? Authority. They knew that for this to happen, that's why they said, if I cast out devils by the spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So they kept resisting another man's authority. That's why he warned them. Yeah? He said, the Lord has placed in Zion a stone, a precious cornerstone. If you fall on it, what will happen? It will break you. You know what that means? It means about authority that when you undermine authority, that should bless you, yeah? You begin to lose the benefits that should come from that authority in your life. Yeah, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That what? That it may be well with you and that their days will be long on the earth. That's the benefit that comes from that authority. Because it's a God-given authority. If you don't, you lose the benefit. That's what it means to be broken. But it can get worse. If you keep undermining them and making light dig over them, actually that power, rather than losing benefit, it can actually turn against you and start working against you and grind you to powder. Amen? I'm not saying this for you to be afraid. I want you to understand authority. Yeah? If you understand authority, authority will work for you. Amen? If you despise authority, authority will not work for you. Yeah? It's like, for example, a child that makes life difficult for their parents. They are already sowing a seed for their own when they become a father or mother. I say, why are you making life difficult for me? After all, I did not make life difficult for my parents. Then the Holy Spirit will remind them that actually, no, you made life very difficult. Amen. When you honor authority, authority will work in your life. Say, I choose to honor godly authority. Amen. Let me see how we're doing time. Okay, let me do 5 more minutes and then we'll do part 2 next week. Then another thing about authority, I'm talking about your authority in Christ. This is my focus. That's just a digression. Authority, because authority is not power. Authority is delegated power. The power is in Jesus. The power is in God. He only gave you the right or the permission to use it. Yeah? So you see now that to exercise authority, you need faith. Amen? Say, I need faith. In order to exercise my spiritual authority. Without faith, you can't exercise authority. Because you're thinking, oh, I'm not powerful. But you have been given the right. You have been given the permission to use that power. You need faith. So what is faith? Please read me. Somebody read me. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. You're going where I don't want you to go for. Go for it. Hebrews 11 1. Give it to me. Tell us the version. Read it. Tell us the version. Don't be afraid. Hebrews 11 1. Read it. And tell us the version. Hebrews 11 1. I want to challenge your understanding today. Yes, go for it. Hebrews 11 1. We're waiting for you, sir. Yeah.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
For by
That's okay. Just verse 1. Now, this is the version, this is King James, that I grew up in, you know, for many years. You know, I've been born again, working with God, almost 40 years of my life. And that's the version I've known for many years. But some years ago, I understand that's not the best definition of faith. It's actually confusing. Faith is the substance of things so far, and the evidence of things not seen. Yeah? It's a bit confusing. Now, read it for me from ESV. Hebrews 11:1. I give you, the best definition I've found, the best version that defines faith is ESV. Hebrews 11:1. Listen to it.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Amen. You see, because faith is self, you can't see it. Can you see faith? So when you say faith is substance, you're thinking, wait a minute. I can't even see it. So that word, you can't relate with it as a natural man because you can't hold it. Yeah? It says evidence. I said what? Well, see, we don't have evidence. That's why we need faith, isn't it? And yet it's the evidence. So I don't want to define it that way. I could teach it and I'll teach you it's correct. So I'm not saying it's not correct. I'm just saying that it doesn't help you to grasp it quickly. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You are hoping for something. It's not yet, you don't yet have a handle on it, but you do have an assurance. That's your handle. Yeah? It is not solid in the physical, but it's solid in the spiritual. It's an assurance. Yeah? And faith is what? The conviction. Yeah? You are convinced He said, where is it? He said, it's not here, but I'm convinced that it's on the way. Hallelujah. I am convinced that God has said it. I'm convinced that it belongs to me. I'm convinced that when I exercise this authority, it will deliver result. Amen. He said, how will you move the mountain? He said, well, I actually don't have the power to move the mountain. Can you move the mountain with your hands? No. But I'm convinced that when I speak to this mountain, it will what? Move. That's faith. Faith is assurance. Faith is conviction. The depth of your conviction reflects the strength of your faith. The depth of what? Your conviction. See, when you have conviction, you will speak out and you will step out. Let me say that again. When you have conviction, what will you do? You will speak out and you will step out. When you don't have conviction in your authority, you will keep quiet. When your authority is challenged, you will what? You keep quiet. You don't have conviction. Amen. When you don't have conviction in your authority, you will be a coward. You will not be able to act boldly. You can't be bold if you don't have conviction. You can't be bold. No. To be bold, you need what? Conviction. You know that this is what God has said. This is what God has given to you. Now, something has come to challenge it. You're not going to keep quiet. No, you can keep quiet if you have what? No conviction. But if you have conviction, you will be what? Bold. You will be courageous. It's your conviction.